We're continuing on with our series called, our theme is Truth. Our series is called Faithful, and this will be the next to last one. Next week we'll be talking about Well Worth the Wait. And so if you'd like to read, the scripture is in the bulletin for you, if you'd like to read ahead. I'm not going to read this scripture right now because we will be going to it during the message. So let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the truth that is here. As the song said, sometimes we go through the mountains and sometimes through the valleys and sometimes through those tough times, but you are always there and you're always with us. Help us to remember that truth as we struggle day by day. I ask and pray that as we study the message this morning, as we study your word this morning, that you'll help us to understand, to grasp the truth that's here, to see Paul's message to us, but more than that, to see your message to us through the Apostle Paul. So give us clarity, give us understanding, give us wisdom as we study. And then I pray that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Life is filled with joys and life is filled with tragedies. The morning that I began to work on this message and began the introduction was 2 days after the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and others in the helicopter crash. And I think it's interesting that we are often drawn to the death of celebrities, whether they be Hollywood celebrities, whether they be sports celebrities, athletes, whatever. What we seem to forget sometimes, though, across this globe, east and west, north and south, there were thousands of people on Sunday, January 26th, who suffered the same type of fate that Kobe's wife did. She lost somebody who was dear to her. Let me give you an example of how that plays out. You know and remember what happened on November 22nd, 1963. President Kennedy was assassinated. That same day, there were two other very prominent men who died, but very few people give any recollection to them. One of them was Aldous Huxley, who was a humanist and a playwright. He wrote The Brave New World, which was kind of like a futuristic novel. He died the same day. But so did someone else with the name Clive Staples. You might know him as C.S. Lewis. But the same day that President Kennedy died, two other very prominent men died. Very few people even realized that they had died. And the same thing is true for when Kobe Bryant and his daughter passed away tragically. Thousands and thousands of people across the globe lost people who were dear to them. Our life is filled with tragedy. Our life is filled with suffering and trials. And it's part of life. I don't think there's a person in this room that even though they realize that life is like that, would say, bring them on, Lord. You know, bring the trials to me, Lord. I'm ready. Come on, Lord. I don't know of anybody who's going to do that. I certainly am not going to be one who does that. But suffering leaves us with lessons to learn. Suffering leaves us with some good ideas that we need to learn and to practice and to put into our life. So I want to take a look at that this morning because, as you notice, the title is called Suffering Happens. And so let's first of all take a look the inevitable. I began several months ago reading a book, and as I was studying for this message, I found the book again and realized that I'd only read about 1/4 of it. Still can't figure out why. It was written by a man named Philip Ryken, who is the president of Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois. And the book is called When Trouble Comes, and during that book, he says, I know what I was going through was completely normal. He doesn't tell us what he was going through. It just said that what I was going through was totally and completely normal. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds or various kinds. And when you think about that, you start thinking, okay, there's Job, there's David, there's Elijah, there's Jeremiah. Oh, yeah, and then there's even Jesus. And they're going through these difficulties and these trials. And Philip Ryken said it led him to accept that seasons of doubt, discouragement, and depression were as normal a part of life in a fallen world. But then he makes this statement that I just absolutely, totally agree with and loved. He said, when trouble comes, this does not mean that I am a bad Christian. Nor does it mean God is against me, even though sometimes I may feel that way. In my trouble, it helped immensely to know that I was going through something that happens to most of God's beloved children. I think it's interesting to see how other people look at suffering. Scott Peck, M. Scott Peck, who was a psychiatrist and a doctor, said, called it the road less traveled. C.S. Lewis once said that God whispers us in our joy and screams at us in our pain, so he called suffering God's megaphone. Another person said it is the gift nobody wants. I think we probably all would agree with that. And somebody else said it's the path to truth. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but what? Also suffer for his sake. There are those today who tell us that suffering is wrong. Any follower of Christ who suffers is out of the will of God. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. And I think it's from the pit of hell and smells like smoke. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read those verses, verses 7 through 10. Listen to how Paul says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So Paul is saying that even though we're going through all these tough times, he says this is happening so that we might manifest Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Peter says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And so even Peter is saying, hey, you know, suffering is going to happen, but I want you to rejoice in that suffering. Does that mean that we walk around going, yes, 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 I'm suffering? No, that doesn't mean that at all. It just means that our hearts are in tune with him and we are learning the lessons that he is wanting us to learn, which we're going to talk about in a few moments. A.W. Tozer is a pastor from years ago. He made this statement. It is doubtful that God can bless a man greatly until he hurts him deeply. It is doubtful that God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And Tozer knew whereof he spoke. It is inevitable, folks. And we're going to see that in a moment as we talk about the lesson. Because there's a quote that I heard years and years ago, and I've never been able to forget it. Suffering is inevitable. Misery is optional. Suffering is inevitable. We are going to suffer. We are on a fallen planet. We are fallen human beings. And sin has entered our world. We are going to suffer. No way we can get around that. Let's take a little bit of look at the Apostle Paul as he has written this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What he does is he draws a contrast between earthly trouble and how we feel now and how it's going to look like in the life to come. And what he's going to show us is eternity is different because we have pain now, but we will experience joy later, forever. To be honest, the text, Paul is talking about persecution here. He's not talking about the kind of stuff that you and I go through day in and day out. This literal persecution. When Paul started his first missionary journey, he went to a town called Pisidian Antioch. He was there less than two Sabbaths before the people in the city began to talk about him, and they kicked him out of the city. He went from there to Iconium, where he lasted a little bit longer than two Sabbaths, and they said, "You're out of here," and they kicked him out. He went from there to Lystra, and he was preaching there again, and eventually he was stoned, dragged out of the city, and left for dead. Now, granted, Paul is talking about suffering, but what you don't see here is a pity party. You don't see Paul going, "Oh, woe is me. I'm going through all this junk, and you have to feel sorry for me." He's not pitying himself at all. He's not feeling sorry for himself. In fact, he's basically saying, "I've been there, done that. I understand your pain." So Paul tells us that we need to have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written. "I believed, and so I speak." So what lessons can we learn? This is going to be rather short. What lessons can we learn? Number one, suffering is inevitable. I've already said that once or twice. Suffering is inevitable. If you read the book of James and you read that first chapter, verse 2, James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers." What's the next word? When. Not if. He's not saying, "Well, you may not." He said, "No, expect." So count it all joy, my brothers, when you experience trials of many kinds. Remember that passage in 1 Peter chapter 4? Do not be surprised when you suffer pain of many kind. It's interesting, the word, when James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you suffer trials of various kinds." The word "various" in the Greek literally means polka dot. In other words, our lives are going to be spattered with difficulty. It's going to be spattered with trials. And every trial is going to be different for each person. You cannot say, "Well, I know how you feel," if you don't know how they feel. So each one of us are going to experience the trials that speak to our own heart. The second truth that it teaches us is trials do have a purpose. And this is the hard part for us. James tells us that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness or endurance. You see, I've become more and more convinced of this as I've gotten older. God is not interested in torpedoing our faith. A lot of people, when they go into trouble, they begin to shake their fist at God and say, "Why, God, are you doing this to me?" God is not doing it to him. It's the enemy of your soul. God may be allowing it to happen as he did with Job. But it's the enemy of your soul who says, "I'm going to take you down. I'm going to blow you apart. I'm going to torpedo your faith so that you have nothing left to stand on." That is not God's intention. God is not the author of evil. The Bible tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes from God. He is not the author of evil. He is not the author of pain. He might allow it, but I repeat it again, he is not the author of it. And there's a third lesson I think we need to learn. It shows us where our true strength lies. It shows us where our true strength lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about us being clay pots, or as in other translations, we'll talk about being jars of clay. Jars of clay leak. God could have chosen the light of his angels. He could have said, "Okay, I want you to blast this message," but he hasn't done that. He has chosen us to share his message with other people. Someone has said he has limited the proclamation of his message to human throats. Why has he done that? Verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. What's Paul's reaction? Verses 16 through 18. Let's read those. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, that's body is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You see the comparison there that he's done? The light, momentary versus the eternal weight of glory, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. In other words, we don't understand what's going on. We're not given privy to say, okay, this is why it's happening, stick to it. We're not given privy to that information. But what he does tell us is see the unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What is waiting for us, Paul says, exceeds our expectations. We have a greater ability to see beyond because of what he has done for us. Interesting passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, remember, he talks about the thorn in the flesh that he has. What does he say? He's asked three times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed. What does Paul learn? My grace is sufficient for you. For your weakness is my strength. Or my strength is made great in your weakness. However you want to translate that. So basically what Paul is learning is that when he is nothing, God is everything. When he has nothing left, God's there. God's never left him alone. Even through all that thorn in the flesh, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, we don't really know. We surmise, we can guess, but all we know is that Paul learned a very valuable lesson, and that is that God's grace was sufficient for him through all things. I want to put it this way. When we die, he lives. When we lose, he wins. When we're weak, he is strong. When we're dependent, he is powerful. I suspect if you forget everything else that I've said this morning, I don't want you to forget those words. Let's say them together. When we die, he lives. When we lose, he wins. When we're weak, he is strong. When we're dependent, he's powerful. That's the beauty of clay pots, folks. That's the beauty of jars of clay. We allow the power of God's message to leak out through us. A missionary is once asked what he thinks Jesus will say when he returns to earth, because Jesus himself said that he would return at the end of all things. Missionary was a little stumped there for a minute. He started thinking, what would Jesus say? And then he was drawn to a passage in 2 Thessalonians that where it says that the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout and with a commanding shout. And he started thinking about that because the person wanted to know, what is Jesus going to shout? So the missionary thought for a moment and he said, he's going to shout enough. He's going to shout, enough. Enough suffering, enough starvation, enough terror, enough death, enough indignity, enough lives trapped in hopelessness, enough sickness, enough disease. At the end, when he returns, Christ will shout, enough. And that's the story you and I need to know. The question that is raised every time, or the question that should be raised when we talk about suffering, is this: will pain and suffering drive you away from God, or will it drive you to God? That's the question every one of us as individuals must answer. Will pain and suffering drive us to God, or will pain and suffering drive us away from God? He says enough. Paul says, what you have here on earth won't hold a candle to what you get in eternity. So let's say enough. Let's say I will draw to God instead of drawing or falling away from God. I'm going to leave you with those words this morning. I was going to have a song, but after I added the song to the communion, I thought, no, I better not do another one. But I had someone request that they really liked having a song at the end of the service that I would play. So I'm going to start doing that. But today I just want you to think and ask yourself the question, am I and will I allow my suffering and my trial to pull me away from God, or will I allow it to pull me to God? I'm going to pray and then ask you to go ahead and be seated, and then Sally and Hope are going to come up and share something with you. So let's pray, and then after they're done, we will be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for your word. There is so much more that we could talk about suffering and trials and we are this that we have this morning. But I just pray to prick our thinking, to make us begin to think that am I allowing my trials and my difficulties to draw me to you, or am I allowing them to draw me away from you? Help us to remember that you are not the author of bad. You are not the author of evil. You're not the author of these trials. You may allow them, but the enemy of our souls is the one who's behind it all. Help us to stand strong and help us to learn what Paul learned in 2 Corinthians when he said, my grace is sufficient for you. That is, when you are weak, then I am strong. And help us, no matter what we go through, to trust you and to know that you are stronger than anything that we could come up with, and you are stronger than any difficulty or trial we face. So go with us this week, and no matter what we face, Father, help us to lean on you, and to lean on your word, and to trust you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment, and Hope and Sally are going to come.